Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your John Philip Sousa March of Free Speech because it's our Independence Day weekend. Yay! And RBN will be closed tomorrow. And therefore, I had to record my Tuesday show yesterday with Paul Stevenson. He is, I believe he's part English and part Irish. But today we've got a genuine Englishman on with us. That's Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here, and I'm pleased we're going to sneak this show in. And it isn't going to be disrupted by any celebrations.
Right. Well, first, I just want to say on behalf of all Americans, sorry about all that bother, you know, 247 years ago. Sorry about that. I went back and I looked at the musical Hamilton, which is about all that bother 247 years ago. I didn't realize that all the founding fathers are black, and the only sympathetic character was King George. I think if more people knew that, they'd probably regret not having paid that tea tax.
Yeah, I always find it really funny when you talk about the tea tax, because compared to what Americans are taxed for today, the tea tax does seem rather small and petty, doesn't it?
It seems like what were we thinking? And halfway joking, but well, not really joking. Seriously, but maybe not importantly, what do you think? Had the Americans not gone off and done that whole War of Independence thing, and the British could concentrate their affairs on North America, do you think they would have gone into India so much?
I don't know. Do you know what? That's a really interesting question, because I've never really considered that. But I think they probably would have done, simply because I feel that the British Empire was this ever-growing beast, and it was all about as acquiring sort of as much territory as possible. So yes, I do think no matter what would have happened, Britain would have,
may well have. It may well have. Part of the imperative for India was having lost the cotton fields in the southern part of the United States. I think that had a little something to do with it. But at any rate, I don't know. I mean, there's not much you can do about it at this point. Hey, why is your voice so hoarse?
Well, my voice is so hoarse because I have just come back from the fourth annual Patriotic Alternative camping event. And because of that, I have spent the weekend out with some wonderful, wonderful people, barbecuing, camping, and just having a fantastic weekend. There was about 170 of us there. It was superb. We did a hike. We did a massive banner drop with 100 people. And I was cooking barbecue for everybody. And there were so many families there. We had some sort of big sporting events with all the different people taking part in it. It was really, really, it was a really, really special event. And I've got to say, I had a fantastic time.
Well, that sounds good. And before we completely leave the Revolutionary War stuff, so okay, in Hamilton, I kind of misspoke. Hamilton himself was apparently a Puerto Rican, but the rest of the founding fathers were Negroes, and Jefferson was funky. He was very funky. King George was the only white, and he was he also sang the only song that had a melody. Everybody else was rapping. But you know, here's one thing. Like, we Americans, we know about the people on our side, and we know about Benedict Arnold, and we know about King George. Nobody ever talks about Freddie North.
I don't even know who that is, so I'm not going to talk about him either.
Lord Frederick North? I think the little piece of crumpet down at the pub used to call him Freddie. Frederick North, he was the prime minister at the time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, nobody knows that. It's just been forgotten to history. Oh, well. But what's not forgotten to history yet, maybe it will be, is Paris is burning. It's been there for a long time, but I don't know how much. Well, actually, I guess it's the suburbs of Paris that are really burning. But apparently they deployed a lot of troops on the in the Champs-Élysées. And
yeah, that's the only part where they've really put their foot down and prevented the rioters getting to. Everything else has been allowed to burn, except for this sort of one street, which is very sort of totemic and central to, you know, the capitalist system. That is the one thing that hasn't been allowed to fall.
Mm-hmm. And so we saw over the weekend, as this was starting to unfold and was already in full gear, Emmanuel Macron, he was with his boomer wife
at decrepit granny sort of
his old high school teacher. It was his old high school teacher,
yeah.
Yeah. And they were at an Elton John concert, boogieing away to, was it the Crocodile Rock or Philadelphia Freedom? It was one of these songs. And there was something, I saw a video of it, and he's just there with his granny wife, and they're just kind of bopping away to the Crocodile Rock. Yeah.
As France burns.
I mean, could you get any closer to narrow than that?
No, but a much sort of obviously a much more multicultural Nero.
Well, I mean, wasn't part of the problem with Rome in its later days that it had gotten too multicultural?
I don't think the issue with Nero was multiculturalism. I think the issue here is definitely multiculturalism. Mm-hmm. And seeing what we're seeing, I mean, the scenes are absolutely incredible.
Well, isn't the problem social media and video games? Because that's what Macron said.
I don't think the problem is social media and video games. I think the problem is quite clearly unchecked mass immigration and the transformation of our cities into, in this case, a multicultural war zone. And the thing that I find most interesting about this particular case is the way the police have had no real response whatsoever to the rioting. And let's put this right. Let's hit the nail on the head from the beginning. If this was white people doing this, you would have had the military out in force. And I believe there would have been a curfew, and the result of that curfew would have been, you know, shoot on sight, basically. This would have been prevented from going any further at any cost. Because
can I supply an example for that?
Yeah, sure.
About 18 months ago in Canada, you had some white truckers who were out on the street in Ottawa because they didn't want to get the deadly coronavirus shot. And they did call out the military. Didn't they call out the military? It was pretty heavy handed.
No, they did. It was extremely heavy handed. And this really, you know, it's an accurate assessment when you start pointing out that we are seeing now this huge, huge, huge double standard playing out on this massive scale. But the media are very, very hesitant to cover any of this. And that's another thing which is very interesting. Now, it wasn't that long ago that Prigozhin was apparently marching to Moscow, and he was going to be there in less than 6 hours, and this was the fall of the Russian regime. And there was nothing else.
And how many high rises did he burn down?
Well, I was going to say, this was going to be my point. There was nothing else in the news. No one wanted to talk about anything else. This was, you know, it was a civil war. If it wasn't a civil war, well, it was going to be one very soon. The media talked about nothing but this. And whilst all this was happening, you know, the news feed seemed empty of any other news. Now, I woke up this morning a little later than usual because I'm a bit husky and a bit tired out from the wonderful camping at the weekend. And I checked down the Daily Mail news feed, and I had to scroll an awfully long way before I got to any news about what's happening in France. And you look at that and you think to yourself, well, This is quite incredible. What we're seeing here is something that is, you know, completely unprecedented. You're seeing this massive, massive racially motivated violence, multicultural violence, and no one wants to talk about it. And apparently, one of Macron's responses, when we say no one wants to talk about it, one of Macron's responses has been to limit the internet in France, so French citizens can't see what's happening. And another one of the responses has been that when white people have gathered together to defend themselves against these migrant thugs, you actually see the French police officers, you know, moving immediately to these areas where white people are attempting to defend themselves and dispersing white people who are there to defend, you know, their homes, their businesses, their families, which is incredible. So the police are not making any attempt to stop these riots. Well, no serious attempts anyway, but they are making a serious attempt to prevent anybody from, say, you know, a white community from, you know, protecting themselves, which I find incredible.
And this has been, it's been bad for a long time. Of course, in what, 2005, there were mass riots like this. They've been going on and on. I remember 40 years ago, at least 40 years ago, there was this movie, a French movie that was out. And I used to study French, and so seeing a French movie wasn't too unusual for me. I saw this French movie, and it was called Diva. And it was about a black American opera singer in Paris, and she was a great opera singer, but she refused to have her voice recorded. And then there were these like weird gangster types, and there was some like Taiwanese, and everybody was trying to get bootleg recordings of her. And there was this one character who was, he was one of the gangsters, and he was short and had kind of a smashed in face. He was a hitman for one of the gangs. And he had very few lines, but all the lines were the same. I don't like this. I don't like that. So he had one, he doesn't like parking lots. He said, j'aime pas le parking. But one of his lines was, j'aime pas les banlieues. He doesn't like the suburbs because they were full of Arabs. And this was 40 years ago. And it was already like a meme 40 years ago. And, you know, and by the way, the soundtrack of that movie, it had some weird stuff, but the opera singer sang a aria called the Wali, and I'll play that later in this show just because I like it. But it, I mean, this has been a thing for a long, long time, and the, I guess you were starting to get somewhat after World War II, in the 1950s, you were starting to get all this immigration from North Africa and Algeria, I guess, in particular. Algeria was really considered part of France. And even though Algerians didn't really have equal rights, they did seem to have the right to move to metropolitan France, and they were doing it. And then for whatever reason, after Algerian independence, the Algerians fought a war because they didn't think it was right for Algeria to have like 15% Frenchmen in it. Well, now you got all these Algerians in France, you know, Algerians and other Muslims making up 15% of France or so. Why shouldn't the French say, hey, we want our independence, and why don't you leave the country like we left your country 60 years ago? Would that be too unreasonable?
That's never going to happen, because diversity is our strength and tolerance.
It's our greatest strength.
It's our greatest strength, and our tolerance is our most noble virtue. But look at where diversity and tolerance has led us. And that's the important thing, isn't it? The rules that we have followed in the West are leading us to our destruction. And this destruction now seems ever more present and, you know, in some ways completely unavoidable. And the incredible thing is, as I said earlier, the French police are doing their absolute best to actually stop white people from defending themselves. So at what point does this turn from being a non-white criminal problem to being, you know, a collusion between the state and these criminal gangs to further dispossess and harm white people.
At what point? I don't know. Maybe pretty soon. And it's spreading. Remember, it's spreading beyond France. It's already spread to Belgium. Lucerne. Isn't it going up to Belgium?
No, it's already got to Belgium.
It's already got to Belgium. Okay. No big surprise there.
It's nobody already in Belgium. That's the point.
How about going across the channel? How about going into to Germany and Sweden?
I can see this going to other places on the French border. I don't see it coming to Britain. Britain is very isolated in that way. And, you know, what goes on the continent does not seem to spread here. We saw that, you know, pre-World War II.
Sorry? 3 years ago, didn't you get some of the Black Lives Matter stuff?
We did, but
it wasn't as intense, right?
We did, but that was something that came from America. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is we tend in Britain to get things from the United States. We don't seem to get things from continental Europe. That's just how it rolls. So during the Second World War, pre-Second World War, we didn't get the sort of fascism or the the other sort of nationalism with such fervor as many European countries experienced. So where you saw Italy, Spain, obviously Germany, and movements all over Eastern Europe coming to power that were nationalistic, we simply didn't get that here in the UK. We had the black shirts, but they never got any sort of significant power, and they didn't have they didn't enjoy the same kind of following that fascist or nationalistic parties had on the continent. But we have slurped down every little bit of American sort of Judeo-American garbage that we've managed to be presented with. So I do think there is a bit of a difference there. So I'm not sure whether it would spread here, and I might be proved wrong. I may be proved wrong. We may end up seeing something over the next few days where, youths, and that's what they always call it, isn't it? Youths, the youths of London, gather together to, emulate what's going on in France. We might even see, copycat protests break out, because that is something we do see. And if this did become sort of a BLM issue, you might see some of that. But I definitely think this will cross across national borders on the continent. And I think this will be, quite weather dependent. If the weather in France is warm and conducive to this kind of activity, I think the continent will likely, I think it will continue to burn.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't follow French politics. I never followed it that closely. You used to have like these giants who just were on the scene forever. So obviously Marine Le Pen's father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, was on the scene forever. And you had Jacques Chirac was around forever, and François Mitterrand, these people, and Georges Marchais, the communist leader, they were just around for decades. Now people just come and go. You got Macron, and he seems to be bored with the job. I mean, he literally was at an Elton John concert when the country was facing what should have been the biggest crisis since he's come to power. And he's at an Elton John concert. People say that he's actually, he's only 45 and he's in his second term. He's can't run again. And is looking towards becoming UN Secretary General or head of NATO or head of the EU or some other position. He's already looking forward to that. Now, of course, if he were to resign in disgrace, it wouldn't really help him much. But
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
People are getting stupid, and now there's proof. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. This year's spring edition of Intelligence Online reported on IQ tests of 18 to 60-year-olds. The online magazine has been doing this study for quite some time, and this year's report was the first time that the average IQ of Americans dropped. Usually, the average IQ went up 3 to 5 points every decade. This time it went down. Well, look at the age range, 18 to 60-year-olds. Anyone under 48 was educated entirely under the Federal Department of Education. Those who predate the Department of Education are aging out of the study, skewing the average. Do we really need any more evidence that government, especially the federal government, should not be involved in educating our young people? Instead of critical thinking, young people are being taught sexuality. Logic and reason have become political correctness. History is now critical race theory. This is starting to look a lot like the plot from the movie Idiocracy. And if you own a firearm, then you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market and save another 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem. Parabellum.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Head of NATO or head of the EU or some other position. He's already looking forward to that. Now, of course, if he were to resign in disgrace, it wouldn't really help him much. But are you hearing calls for his resignation?
No. Again, when these sort of things happen, and he's been one that has, you know, initially praised, you know, the youth who was shot, he has sucked up to the the rioters as much as he can. You know, he's painting a sympathetic picture of these rioters. I look at stuff like that and I find it very, very interesting, because fundamentally he is still going along with the narrative, which is obviously what they want. They want, you know, a leader who, even in times like this, when everything's falling apart, will still just keep reading from the script. He will just keep saying, everything's great, diversity is our greatest strength, tolerance is our greatest virtue, this is just a blip in the road, and it's a blip in the road that's primarily caused by racism, you know, a lack of tolerance, people not understanding the importance of diversity. That's going to be his fundamental message, and he's going to keep parroting that, and he's going to keep parroting that because that's what they want him to parrot. And I would say that he was unpopular going into this, he would be more unpopular coming out of this. He was unpopular at the last presidential election. He was even more unpopular when it came to the pension reform, which obviously followed that. Now he is going to be absolutely despised, but at the same time, he's going to be someone that the establishment looks at and smiles upon, because he is going to hold that establishment line whilst Rome burns.
So you've got that, and who knows how long it's going to go on. I don't know.
I said whilst Rome burns, didn't I?
Paris, whilst Paris burns. I mean, but
it is Paris. Yeah, I was going back to your Nero thing at the beginning. It's he's there, he's dancing to Elton John whilst Paris burns, and he's going to hold the line and claim that everything's great and everything's wonderful and diversity is what really makes us strong as Paris burns. And that's what they want. They want these talking heads who are never going to deviate from the core message, no matter how bad things get. It's a little bit like this, that meme. There's that meme of that little puppy sat at a table drinking coffee, as everything around the puppy is on fire and burning, and, you know, it's all absolutely shocking. And the puppy just remarks, "This is fine." And that is what they want. They want leaders, I say leaders in inverted commas, who fundamentally exist for nothing more than to reassure the general public that in times where the multicultural system is teetering on the brink of collapse, that in fact it's absolutely brilliant and everything is great. Keep calm and carry on. You know, Paris is on fire, but don't worry, the Champs-Élysées will be fine. All the big capitalist companies that have got their flagship shops there, they're going to be fine. Don't worry about them. You will probably use your shops, potentially, you know, you'll experience a few home invasions and other things. But at the end of the day, this is what we need. This is just a bump in the road, and the road is taking us to utopia. So, you know, don't jump off the car. Don't jump out of the car. Don't want to turn the car around. We're heading to the promised land, and this is just a bump in the road on that journey.
Well, so for our entire lifetimes, no matter what's happened, they've been able to just carry on. I guess democracy is all about the leaders being able to do whatever they want despite the will of the people. That seems to be how democracy is defined these days. And they just keep on with the mass immigration, with the wars, with the attack on white people. They've been able to keep on with it. But, you know, and I could see if over the next couple of days things kind of simmer down, they go more or less back to normal, maybe ratcheted up one level of white guilt or something, but and things could just proceed, and Macron continues to be a statesman and this and that. But at the same time, what happens if these youths, they're not going to burn the bitch down forever. But what if they take a page out of Antifa's book from Seattle and Portland and just set up no-go zones? And, you know, in Sweden, I think there's already effectively no-go zones in Marmo and some of these other Muslim areas. But what if they have, like, explicit no-go zones where you're not coming into our banlieue? You're not coming in here. And they set up little semi-ISIS-style what were they called? Not fiefdoms, caliphates.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Explicit no-go zones, where you're not coming into our banlieue. You're not coming in here, and they set up little semi-ISIS style what were they called? Not fiefdoms, caliphates, you know, something like that. And then at the same time, you could have the whole Ukraine situation collapse, and what happens then if everything has, like, all the lies are just being exposed? At what point does Macron, for instance, just become unviable?
When does Macron become unviable? Well, I'll tell you this. All of these leaders who work toward the globalist agenda, who work toward the anti-white agenda, they are two things: instantly interchangeable and absolutely disposable. And what I mean by that is you can swap them about. So whether they're conservative or Labour, whether they're right or left, whether they're red or blue, you can swap them out for one another and the results are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And that makes them disposable. So if Macron has to take the bullet for this, and when I say take the bullet, I'm not saying anyone's going to actually shoot him in the head or anyone's actually going to kill him. I mean, take the figurative bullet, as in he, you know, commits, you know, political hari-kari and, you know, steps aside or is ousted by his own party or forced to resign. That doesn't matter because he'll be replaced by somebody who says and does exactly the same thing. And not only that,
he will probably be replaced by Marine Le Pen. And that's the question. Is, I mean, she's not her father, but is she just another cog?
You see, Marine Le Pen is somebody I find quite interesting. And I find these people interesting because there seems to be this slider. And the slider is, on one hand, has your values. And on the other hand, it has political power. With at the very far, at one far end, you holding on to all your values and walking the same line politically. On the other side, you know, 100% power. And people believe that by giving up on the things you believe, you move across the slider and end up experiencing more political power. But at some point, there is a tipping point where you move so far across that slider in order to gain more power that you end up leaving behind all of the things you originally got into politics to bring about. And at that point, is it actually worth taking power? Because you just become part of the system. And we've seen that in Sweden with the Swedish Democrats. The Swedish Democrats have purged their party of people who had totally, you know, normal and reasonable opinions about things like repatriation, about Sweden being, you know, a white country, in an effort to become part of the mainstream. Now, if they become part of the mainstream, what are they actually going to bring about? What are they going to actually affect? How are they going to bring about change? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to bring about change, because it becomes harder and harder to bring about radical change when you've sold out, because the people you take on board and the people who support you when you sell out then would be absolutely shocked, appalled, and think it terrible that you have decided, you know, to change your opinion. And they wouldn't allow you to shift back to the right. They would be appalled if you shifted back to the right. So at that point, can you really affect those radical changes? And people say, well, of course you can. You know, the point is, these parties are all going to get to power. And then as soon as they get to power, they're going to do the old switcheroo and go back to their old selves. As I said, I'm not sure that's possible. I'm not sure that people can do such a thing. I don't think that's what happens. I think you need to tread the harder path. Now, Jean-Marie Le Pen, you know, was treading that harder path. Jean-Marie Le Pen was someone who absolutely wanted to carry on treading that difficult path of holding on to his beliefs, but his daughter hasn't done that.
Yeah, Jean-Marie Le Pen is somebody who threw a birthday party for David Duke.
Yeah.
And oh, and by the way, David, happy birthday over the weekend. July 1st was his birthday.
Ah, happy birthday, David.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, but and like I say, Marine Le Pen is not her father. In fact, after taking over the father, is taking over the party from her father, then a few years later, she ousted him from the party because he made the comment that the Holocaust is just a detail of history.
Yes. Yes.
Now,
but that's exactly what I'm talking about, my friend. I'm saying that
would she go full Maloney? You know, which is Maloney is a perfect example of what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone celebrated when she got to power. Everyone was super happy when she got to power. Everybody thought, "Wow, you know, this is going to be the big change." And the first thing when she did when she got to power was start talking about how sympathetic she actually was towards migrants. Now, at that point, what is the point? So I don't know. I can't give Marine Le Pen, my, you know, big, and she doesn't need my seal of approval. I just, you know, I'm not saying that she needs my seal of approval, because she obviously doesn't, but she's not going to get my seal of approval either, because I don't think she's earned it. And I am nervous about people like her. And I've got to say this, I am nervous about women in positions of power.
Yeah. Well, speaking of women in positions of power, Margaret Thatcher, did she turn, I don't know what people's expectations of her were. When she came to power in, I guess it was 1979, it was a different, I don't think she was talking about migration or anything like that. I think she was talking about privatization, which she carried out, for better or for worse.
For worse.
Yeah.
For worse. It was that was an absolute disaster. But anyway, carry on. I didn't want to bring that up. But.
I'm interested. When, at the time, I was a young adult, and I was just kind of ideologically a leftist, and so I didn't like the idea of privatization. But how did it work out for the worse?
How did it work out for the better would be the easiest question, because it didn't. There's nothing you can say about it being better, other than generating a few short-term funds for the government. It was an absolute disaster. So let's take the train companies now. Instead of it being, British Rail, and you buy one ticket that's valid on any train, you know what you're paying, the subsidized services to outlying areas in the countryside, meaning that there's great transport links. You now have a situation where there are very few services to outlying areas. You can buy a ticket, but can only use it on certain trains. It's only valid on certain services. So you could have three trains, you know, within the space of 20 minutes going from the same station, but your ticket is only valid on one of them because they're all run and operated by different companies. This actually happened to me on one occasion. I paid for an extremely expensive ticket. I was there at the platform, jumped on a train, which was marked up with the livery of the company I bought the ticket from. When the woman checked my ticket, she said, "That's not a valid ticket." I said, "Yes, it is. I'm on this company's trains with this company's ticket." And she said, "Oh, you bought it from our company, but it's only valid on another service because we have to sell tickets to other services as well." It was absolutely confusing. These sort of things happen to people all the time. The train that I got on was, you know, had arrived at the wrong time. It was there early. So I thought it was, and the train that I was meant to be getting on was delayed, and it was absolute chaos. But this is what happens when you're dealing with privatization. It goes from being a smooth running operation to being an absolute nightmare that's very confusing for the consumer. And another great example of how privatization's failed is with the energy companies. Okay, we've had energy prices have been going up. They're all private companies, so they can pretty much do what they damn well please. But to make this even worse, not only can they do what they please, when energy prices go up, they make an absolute killing. At a time when the government should be in control and be able to say, "Look, you know, we're going through a crisis, we're going to freeze energy prices," they not only go up, but we hear the companies are making record profits. Well, how is that doing the people any good? The people are suffering. These energy companies run natural monopolies. The train companies, the train company is a natural monopoly. And the privatization of these companies and the splitting them into numerous smaller companies has led to disaster, including lots of small companies popping up, going bust, people then, not having an energy provider effectively. It's a disaster. There was a tiny short-term gain, which was massively offset by absolute chaos, which did nothing good for the British people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, it's good to get that perspective. By the way, I have an experience on British trains, and I think I'll take this opportunity to recount it. So this was...
Please do.
40 years ago or so, I had flown to Britain. I was coming from the West Coast. I had jet lag. I spent, a couple of days in a, what did they call it? A squat house in Houston or somewhere like that. And then I went out to Wolverhampton because that's one of my ancestral homes. And I went out to Wolverhampton, went to the city council building or whatever, and I got did some research on my ancestors. And then I got on a train, and this was early afternoon. I got on a train, and I wanted to go to Liverpool because that's where the Beatles were from. And maybe I was supposed to transfer somewhere. I don't know. I had jet lag. I fell asleep. Next thing I knew, it was dark. We were pulling into some little station. It was pitch dark outside. I knew I didn't have a ticket. So I just jumped out, and it was a country station. And so there were no turnstiles. So I just walked out to the road, started hitchhiking. Where am I? I was in Scotland. I went up to Scotland by accident. But I didn't have to show a ticket. So I guess all's well that ends well.
Well, now you have to show a ticket everywhere. In fact, there's automated barriers at almost every major train station in the country. And if you get on a train and you, even if you have a ticket, but you've bought the wrong ticket, they say if you get on a train and you don't have a valid ticket, you've got the price of the fare plus a £100 fine. And I have actually been on trains where people have run for the train, jumped on the train. They clearly, you've seen them running. They've clearly not had time to purchase a ticket, but are absolutely willing to. And they've been given the £100 fine. So not only are the train companies run completely ineffectively, not only has privatisation failed in every reasonable sense, but they are now clamping down on people who've made genuine mistakes and fining them for extra profit. It's absolutely scandalous. The train companies in this country are terrible. And this is all from privatization. It's an absolute failure.
Okay, I mentioned the squat house. You know what a squat house is, I suppose.
No.
Oh, okay. So it was, these were houses where, I guess there were no legal tenants, and so,
oh, it was squat. Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was a new concept to me, but there were half a dozen people living in some house, and they had a way of stealing electricity. I think there was plumbing and electricity. I don't know what they did for heat. I was only there for a night or two. It was odd. They weren't getting kicked out. How much of a thing is that still?
What, people squatting?
Yeah.
People do still squat, yeah.
And can the proprietors, can the owners get these people kicked out?
It's very difficult to do that. It's very difficult to do that. If people have been squatting for some time, it's hard to do that. And if people have squatted for 10 years, the property becomes the owner of the people who have been squatting. There are something called squatters' rights.
Yeah, that's amazing. It was. I suppose that type of thing does happen in America, but my experience was over there. Okay. Well, anyway, so we've got what's going on in Paris, and what's your prediction? Is this just going to fizzle out after a few days, or are there going to be some real long-term ramifications, or are we going to have like a cycle where we're going to keep cycling back to this, but every time it'll get worse?
I think we're going to have a cycle. I think what we're going to see is a situation where this will eventually calm down. But it will happen again and again and again. And each time it happens, it will get worse and worse and worse. And as it continues to get worse, we will see a rise in violence. We will see a rise in the number of people injured in these attacks. And we will see them spread to spread further and further to areas where previously they haven't spread, and that's something that is going to be extremely worrying for a lot of people. And eventually they will spread out of city centres and ethnic minority areas. I talked about this in my book. I don't believe there's going to be some big formalised race war, as some people predicted, where whites will be on one side and ethnic minorities will be on another. I think we will see a ratcheting up of violence, but that violence will be explosions of violence like this that get worse over time and more frequent until eventually white people live largely, you know, in a state of fear.
So I haven't heard any reports of deaths, but yet you see these massive fires, like 10-story buildings completely engulfed in flames. So I don't really see how that's possible. Do you have any idea of the casualty figures?
I don't know about casualties. I don't know if there have been any casualties. I hope there haven't. But one thing I will say is we have seen an extreme level of violence.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you have any idea of the casualty figures?
I don't know about casualties. I don't know if there have been any casualties. I hope there haven't. But one thing I will say is we have seen an extreme level of violence that we rarely see. And that extreme level of violence has included people using rocket-propelled grenade launchers. Those are those, like, you know, grenade launchers you see in games like Call of Duty or in old movies where the Soviets are the bad guys. You've seen multiple uses of, you know, semi and fully automatic weapons. You've seen French youth, when I say French, not French, are they? Migrant youths using a variety of different homemade explosive devices, usually improvised or used, you know, made from fireworks. And this has been more violent than previous outbursts. And it tells us something. These people are well armed. The police, in an effort to placate them, have been leaving these communities alone. These communities have been allowed to stockpile huge amounts of weapons, fireworks, explosives, and now they're using them to the point where certain police stations in certain cities, I've heard that one of the police stations in Marseille was essentially sacked, that, you know, armed gangs assaulted the police station. This is like something out of a movie. If you've seen movies like Assault on Precinct 13, where the police are basically holed up in a police station being assaulted, this is what is starting to happen. And this violence will get worse and worse every time these things happen. And these things will continue to get worse as the migrant population increases. And eventually, and I'm not saying this has been peaceful, but it obviously hasn't. But eventually these things will get more violent to the point where there will be fatalities. There will be people dragged out of cars and beaten or raped. It's very, very worrying.
Yeah, it is indeed. Well, we are coming up at the end of our show, but I want to thank you for joining me. Do you have it? Are you going to be putting out one of your videos this week?
I put out a video the weekend about Anne Applebaum and about her her gloating article about Vladimir Putin potentially being killed just as Tsar Nicholas II was. So that's up on my page. This Friday, I won't have a video out, because I will be having a live stream with Laura Taylor to talk about the progress of Patriotic Alternative over the last week. I will also have a special episode of PWR this week on Wednesday with Mike Enoch as the guest, where this will be the main topic.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. Well, thank you so much, and sorry about that business 247 years ago. But I think we can probably still.
It's all water under the bridge.
It's water under the bridge. Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.